Blog Talk Radio.
People are talking about reparations. So for candidates not to have a plan or position on reparations is a problem.
I don't think reparations for something that happened 150 years ago for whom none of us currently living are responsible is a good idea. We've, you know, tried to deal with our original sin of slavery by fighting a civil war, by passing landmark civil rights legislation. We've elected an African-American president. We've elected an African-American president. We've elected an African-American president.
The topic of reparations for African-Americans in the United States as it relates to slavery is a strong subject of contention. There are some people who feel as though the descendants of African-Americans who underwent slavery deserve reparations, and there are some people who feel as though slavery happened in the past and we should just move forward and drop the issue. How many of you are aware that this is an issue that has been contested by African-Americans since the late 1800s? Well, I'm here to tell you about a woman named Callie House and her fight to gather reparations for former slaves well over a century ago. Let's get into it. Callie House was born into slavery in the year of 1861 in Rutherford County, near Nashville, Tennessee. Her original maiden name was Callie Guy. Callie hailed from a poor background, being born out of a slave family. Her upbringing was characterized by hardship. At the tender age of 22, she got married to a man named William House. She and William went on to have six children, of which five survived. Additionally, in order to raise her five children, she supported them through odd jobs as a washerwoman and a seamstress. When Callie's husband passed away, she relocated her better employment to take care of her family. It was there in South Nashville that Callie came upon the famous pamphlet titled Freedmen's Pension Bill, A Plea for American Freedom. This pamphlet was created and distributed by a white newspaper editor named Walter R. Bonney. His pamphlet marked one of the earliest efforts to secure pensions for former slaves. The author, Mary Frances Berry, reports in her book, My Face is Black is True, that in 1891, 10,000 copies of the pamphlet were sold at $1 each. This would be impressive even by today's standards. Berry points out that poor people would pool their money to purchase a copy jointly, and then it would be passed around to be read. Once exposed to the idea of a pension as restitution for social injustice and financial compensation to rectify past exploitation, Callie House was hooked. Callie subsequently resorted to championing the thought of monetary payment as a medium of rectifying the past injustices incurred by the black communities. Callie wanted to fight for reparations for her people. This led her to cross paths with a man named Isaiah Dickerson. Isaiah, who also hailed from Rutherford County, Tennessee, worked as a political activist and a distributor for Walter Bonney's pamphlet. Callie and Isaiah disagreed with the mission that Walter Bonney's campaign was carrying out for ex-slave pensions, and they decided to team up to form their own organization. In 1896, they traveled throughout the southern United States campaigning extensively for reparations for ex-slaves, which led to immense support from the local, state, and federal level. According to the Tennessee Encyclopedia, in 1898, Tennessee laws chartered the X-Ray Pension Association that Callie and Isaiah started. This organization, unique among other assistance organizations, was open to everyone regardless of religious affiliation, financial standing, or color, and functioned on both the local and national levels. The organization, named National Ex-Slave Mutual Relief Bounty and Pension Association, was successfully established. The author and historian, Mary Frances Berry, is noted as calling this organization the first mass reparations movement led by African Americans. Now, according to the website titled TennesseeEncyclopedia.net, on the local level, the National Ex-Slave Mutual Relief Bounty and Pension Association functioned similarly to immigrant aid societies that emerged in urban areas in the early 1900s and existed throughout African-American communities following the demise of the Freedmen's Bureau. Through the efforts of Callie House and other organizing agents, local chapters were established and funded through monthly dues to provide burial expenses for members and to care for those who were sick and disabled. In addition to the local goals of the organization, the XLAID Pension Association was unique because of its national structure and goals. Nationally, the XLAID Pension Association held conventions, elected national officers, and worked for the passage of congressional legislation in support of XLAID reparations. The national organization also provided traveling expenses to reparation lobbyists and local chapter organizers. Additionally, it corresponded with local chapters, which responded by paying national dues to further the goal of a reparation bill that will provide monetary compensation of ex-slaves for their labor in the antebellum American South. However, Cali House and the organization faced opposition from both African-American leaders and government officials. The passage of segregation laws throughout the South fostered this antagonistic climate. African-American leaders such as Booker T. Washington and W.E.B. Du Bois largely ignored the reparations movement, focusing their energy on promoting education and defending equal treatment for African-Americans within a white supremacist culture. White Southerners viewed the reparations movement with suspicion. They saw Cali House's organizing efforts as confusing and misleading to African-Americans. From the white perspective, there was no chance of Congress passing reparation legislation, so whites assumed that the organizing efforts of House and Dickerson were defrauding African-Americans of their hard-earned money. In response from supposed complaints from white constituents, the U.S. Pension Bureau, the governmental agency that supervises dispersion of money to Union veterans, started covert surveillance on Cali House and the association. The Comstock Act of 1873 and its later revisions gave the U.S. Post Office wide powers to deem any piece of mail fraudulent and deny the use of mail to persons engaged in fraud or perceived fraud. In 1899, Cali House received notice that the Post Office had issued a fraud order against her and her organization, ostensibly because they were, according to postal authorities, soliciting money under false pretenses. Continued federal hostility led House to step down from her post as Assistant Secretary of the Ex-Slave Pension Association in 1902. She continued to organize local chapters throughout the South, but after the failure of Alabama Congressman Edmund Pettus' reparations legislation in 1903, the reparations movement in Congress lost momentum and support eroded. Facing the prospect of stalled legislation, Cali House enlisted the aid of attorney Cornelius Jones to sue the Treasury Department for $68,073,388.99 in cotton taxes to trace to slave labor in Texas. In 1950, they filed the suit in district court, and although the litigation raised the profile of the slave reparations issue, the District of Columbia Court of Appeals dismissed the suit, citing governmental immunity from litigation. In 1916, Postmaster General A.S. Burleson sought an indictment against Cali House. On May 10, 1916, Nashville District Attorney Lee Douglas filed indictments against House and other officers of the National Ex-Slave Mutual Relief Bounty and Pension Association, charging that they had obtained money from ex-slaves by fraudulent circulars proclaiming that pensions and reparations were forthcoming. The district attorney's evidence was flimsy. None of the victims of the supposed fraud were named, and the literature in question stated only the monies paid to the national organization would be used to promote the passage of legislation for slave reparations. Additionally, Cali House still resided in the same home in South Nashville that she originally moved to from Rutherford County, undermining the allegation that Cali House personally profited from her work within the association. Although the evidence was weak, an all-male white jury convicted Cali House on the charge of mail fraud, resulting in a sentence of a year and one day. She served her sentence in Jefferson City, Missouri, penitentiary from November 1917 to August 1st, 1918, earning early release for good behavior. Following her release from prison, she resumed her work as a laundress in her local South Nashville community. While the national component of House's organization dissolved criminal charges against it, other individuals and organizations continued House's efforts to secure reparations and assistance for African Americans throughout the 20th century. Cali House's grassroots organizing in the midst of a white supremacist culture foreshadowed the rise of other African American groups and individuals, making her a pioneer within the African-American community. Callie House died on June 6, 1928, and is buried in the old Mount Ararat Cemetery in Nashville in an unidentified grave. Callie House was a brave woman whose accomplishments deserve to be celebrated. All right, now, I had never heard of
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and of course, this is a special edition of our New Day program. And it is timely as we approach Mother's Day. For many, they observe that. Well, we want to look at some of the mothers of the real movement. And with that, tonight we want to introduce to you the African Women for Reparations cadre is now in formation, ready to move forward. And as you just heard, Mother Callie House, many have not heard of her or many know little about her, but I want to point out some very interesting facts that tend to be what you will find in too many of our situations. For example, she was accused of mail fraud. Does that sound familiar? There was also a covert attack on her. Does that sound familiar? Now, remember, we're talking about the 1800s here. Also, it is said, and we're going to be going down to Tennessee to really check it out for ourselves, but it is said in this particular presentation that she has an unmarked grave site? Wow. There were several points in this particular presentation that really rang in a way that it demonstrates clearly what this government, what this system does do, have done, and more than likely will continue to do. And the question has to be, what is our plans of action? Well, the African Women for Reparations is now connecting to other positive groups, organizations, and individuals that are dealing with the issue of reparatory justice. Now, of course, we have the We Charge Genocide 21 Project, which is for everyone, but the African Women for Reparations cadre comes specifically out of the Million Woman March Universal Movement and, of course, the A Million Black Women Rising. It's designed specifically for our women for a reason. Our research over the past 5 years have shown us that we really need to make certain that our women have a lot more information and understanding about reparatory justice, i.e. reparations, restitution, and et cetera. Why? Because what we're finding is too many of our young folk, children, young adults, are learning about reparations at a later age. If we are to move forward in the way that we need to and not just talk about getting a check cut, but also to make certain that a responsible entity within our communities for the future is able to bring our people forward, then needless to say, our children need to start getting this information at an earlier age, 6, 7, 8, et cetera. And so the African Women for Reparations now has in place some educational items that we are producing and getting ready for October for our children, some flashcards, for example, with words on them, such as reparations, such as Queen Mother Moore, such as Paul Robeson, with a little bit of information about them, and with a few definitions, very simplistic definitions that we all talk about. We have to begin to educate our children to a greater extent in a very simplistic but a very potent kind of way. And so again, we'll be introducing coloring books and flashcards for our children and other informational materials for our young adults. Now, you heard in this presentation where they did 10,000 brochures that were distributed 10,000 during a time period where, you know, it wasn't easy to get that kind of stuff done, used to say. So the question has to be, what is our plans of action? Well, the African Women for Reparations, in conjunction with the We Charge Genocide 21, we have a plan of action, and we'll be introducing some of that very soon, but more extensively at our summit, Reparatory R4J Summit, that's coming up September 1st through the 4th in Washington, D.C. and surrounding areas. We are presently working on additional locations to hold sessions within the communities. And so we'll give you some updates on that very soon. However, please note that pre-registration will begin on May 19th. Again, pre-registration will begin on May 19th. For more information, you can email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Or you can email in nbhrproject@gmail.com. Again, nbhrproject@gmail.com. And of course, that's our National Black Human Rights Project email address. All right, family. So listen, here's something else we wanted to bring to your attention. Now, you just, of course, heard about the great Callie House. And of course, Callie House, or we call her Mother Callie House, she is now one of our official sister saints. And for those who do not know, we have a poster that is available now with 16 of our sister saints, and we're getting ready to produce another poster that has the other remaining 9 sister saints. That'll be coming out very shortly as well. And of course, they are available for purchase. And again, I'll give you that email information if you're interested in purchasing some posters. We also have, of course, a Mumia Abu-Jamal, Bring Mumia Home, Mumia's Welcome Here poster as well. And I want to remind you that Mumia, the lawyers for Mumia are due to go to court at the end of this month. And tomorrow night's radio program will have a more in-depth update for you, because for tomorrow night's radio program, we will have Brother Raza Khan, who of course is the editor for Nation Time. And so we will have him on to provide you with an update on Mumia, as well as some of the writings that he has published and how we're going to connect some of that to our Black World Wind News Network. So again, tomorrow night, our regular time, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time, is our regular edition of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. Now, going back to the African Women for Reparations cadre, there are several projects that are now in effect in regards to that particular cadre, and that is, of course, the House More campaign, which is also that is being developed in the names of, in recognition of, rather, Mother Callie House, or Saint Callie House, and, of course, Queen Mother Audley Moore. And so we call it the House Moore Initiative, because we are examining the work of both Mother Callie House and Queen Mother Moore, and making certain that we are able to continue their work by providing education, information, research, etc. Now, we will be heading to Tennessee in July, and at that point, there will be a conference there. We will be visiting the Callie House Center while we're there. That's in Nashville, but we'll also be going to Memphis. So we'll give you some more information about that tomorrow on our regular program as well. The other person that is in our email, for those of you who received the e-blast, is, of course, our sister Njeri Agani. Now, many may not be as familiar with her, but she was one of the co-chairs for NCOBRA several years ago. I knew her personally. In fact, she did security for us for the Million Woman March, and she also did security for Queen Mother Moore. But Sister Njeri was also, I mean, just an incredible Black woman. And also, again, she was a co-chair for NCOBRA. Unfortunately, I believe it was 2001. I'll check that date again. Sister and Jerry was in a horrible car accident that, of course, took her life. And so, you know, we always want to make sure that we remember the various brothers and sisters who definitely, I mean, you talk about doing things. This sister, again, we're going to tell you more about her a little later on, because her Earth Day is coming up, as well as, interestingly enough, I think it was the same day of her Earth Day that she, you know, made transition again in a horrible car accident. I was scheduled to meet with her actually that week. We were going to meet and look at how we could collaborate with NCOBRA and MWM in terms of reparation. She knew my vision. I knew hers. And so we knew that we could connect certain things, even though in the bigger scheme of things, you know, it was like kind of complicated. Because, you know, it's just interesting with some of the stuff that you see going on in the movement, but it is what it is. But she and I had found a way or seen a way to work around some of those things and get some things done. Again, with MWM, anyone that kind of has some understanding or comprehension of the power of the Black woman certainly should have, could have seen how much we could have gotten accomplished with, you know, what MWM had in fact accomplished and what its projections were. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. People did not embrace it to the degree that we had hoped. And so the uphill battle became even more complicated than what it was initially. At any rate, we wanted to share that information with you again, because as we approach so-called Mother's Day, we want to make sure that people are aware that we are now bringing forward the mother of civilization universally. Absolutely. That's one of our themes for this year, particularly since we're now introducing the MWM first, Black Women's Global African Women's Heritage Parade, which will take place here in Philly on October the 29th. And then we'll be taking it to other cities during the course of 2023. So again, family, we just wanted to kind of share some of that information with you. We were supposed to do a rally for tomorrow, as we have done every year for at least 10 years, the day before Mother's Day or the weekend of Mother's Day. Unfortunately, we are canceling it due to the, you know, the proposal or what we have been told is going to be the weather for tomorrow. It's going to be raining as it is today. And so we're going to reschedule that for another time. We had wanted to do for the brothers for this evening, and we are rescheduling that as well for next Friday. And that will be a forum for Black men who are very interested, seriously interested, and, of course, addressing the issue of violence and abuse of our women and girls. So that link will be available tomorrow when we do our radio program. We'll make sure that folks are able to get that. You will have to register for that particular Zoom meeting. We are hoping that Dr. James Small will be joining us, because he has conveyed interest in dealing with this issue of violence and abuse of our women and girls. And so we want to get him and a few of the other brothers in that are elders to really kind of make sure that the conversation and the dialogue accomplishes what it needs to accomplish with Black men. We're going to also make sure for next week that our brothers get some information about the Brothers in Support Group for MWM and some of the programs and other things that are connected to that. We have some rites of passage programs that we're collaborating with a few of our brothers. And again, it's very important that our women have some other outlets to connect their sons, grandsons, nephews, and so forth, so that, you know, the women, the sisters, will not necessarily have to deal with certain kinds of things by themselves. So the MWM Brothers in Support group is going to be a part of that. And lastly, we're working now on what we call the Baba Benti Dance. And again, once we kick it off here, since MWM 25 is going to be a year-long commemoration, we'll be taking other programs into other cities once we do it here. And so again, the projection for October is our first Baba Benti Dance. What is that? And it could be a lunch or a dinner. We're not sure yet, but the concept is for brothers to share a dance and a lunch or a dinner with young sisters, their daughters, their nieces, their little sisters, their granddaughters, et cetera. We want to make sure that young sisters can connect with some real Black men and do so in such a way that there's respect and honor and safety and things of that nature. So we'll be giving you more information about that as well. Again, that's the Baba Benti Dance, and we're hoping that brothers will be signing up for it soon. We're preparing to send out quite a few letters to the various Black men groups and organizations here in Philly, because over the years we've done that and have gotten very little response. So this time we're going to literally send out letters and document the kinds of responses or the lack thereof that we get, because we think it's very important that people are clear about what's going on and what's not going on and who's talking a bunch of smack when, in fact, that ain't what they're really doing. And so here in Philadelphia, there are hundreds of entities that talk about violence and abuse and all of that in our community, and some even talk about the love they have for Black women and all of that. But yet when you ask, well, what do you do to deal with some of the issues, you don't get any response that makes much sense. And so we got to do more than just, you know, have these conversations and have a rally and these other kinds of things. That's good, it has its place, but in the 21st century, we need to be doing some other things. And so on let's see what the date of that is for our next community meeting here in Philly. It's the third Saturday of every month. We are at Spirit First Foods. And so for this month, we will be there, on May the 21st, we'll be at Spirit First Foods. And we're going to be conveying some of the plans of action that will begin to address both the issue of violence and abuse of our women and girls, but also the overall issues of violence, period. Since that's such a hot topic now, gun violence, like that's something new, you know, like every other year or every X amount of years, you know, within a 5-year period, it just jumps to another city and that city becomes the murder capital, or, you know, there's this big outcry about guns. And it's like, you know, what part of this do you not get that this is what they do? And they make it seem like it's something new, and yet you don't have groups and organizations or politicians asking, where are these guns really coming from? How are they really getting in our communities? Could it possibly be that some of these like poppy stores and other kinds of stores that are in our community now, more so than Black stores, could it possibly be that some of these are the places that are helping to bring these things in? Just a thought. But the point is, you don't really see or hear those questions being asked, at least not in this city. So what are we going to do, Black folks? That's kind of the question. Well, listen, we're going to talk more about that tomorrow, so please tune in tomorrow. Our regular time, of course, 10:30 p.m., and New Day Resurrection will again bring its weekly broadcast and updates. Again, we will have Brother Razakhan joining us, along with, I think, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. I got to check on that, but definitely Brother Razakhan is scheduled to be with us in. We have a surprise guest for you tomorrow as well. So listen, family, this was just a quick special kind of addition to kind of let you know that the African Women for Reparations cadre is now in effect. We hope that sisters will want to join. Membership is now available for that cadre as well as several others. We have at least 25 new memberships because that's what we're really bringing forward now. We're really bringing forward now that first global movement for women and girls of African descent. But now we are talking about doing it in the way that we initially said and then some. So again, family, tune in tomorrow night, 10:30 p.m. Of course, www.blogtalkradio.com/EmpressChi, or you can, of course, call in at 319-527-6189. Again, 319-527-6189. Stay tuned, stay in touch, and as they say, on with the evolution. Till next time, Kutanana.